Hello, everyone. I'm Eli Hollingsworth, and I'm joined by my brother,
Jake Hollingsworth. And hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. And today is another Wednesday. And
another we're sorry Wednesday.
That our podcast about our last podcast has been going up is going up late. But we were busy, so we have a good excuse. So not much has been happening other than the fact that maybe a Doctor Strange 2 trailer will be coming out at the Super Bowl on February 13th. The day before Valentine's
Day. Explain that you're not like, other than that, it's like if it's some minuscule little detail. Explain that. So we're getting a new trailer for Doctor Strange 2. What? Come on.
Okay, fine.
Oh my goodness.
Potentially on the day of the Super Bowl, this isn't confirmed, but we might be getting another Doctor Strange 2 trailer, an official one this time. And it might be actually show off something more than what we got in the first trailer. Like, the big rumor is potentially we might see Captain Carter revealed, and then we'll have a tease of John Krasinski picking up her shield.
Yeah, which would be interesting.
Because John Krasinski, if you remember from my very first podcast back in the day, which feels like forever ago.
Oh, yeah.
We mentioned the story of John Krasinski almost getting the role of Captain America before Chrissy Boy came in to get the part.
Yeah.
I mean, John Krasinski auditioned, but they ultimately wanted Chris Evans the whole time. So, that's basically the big things, the big rumors that you might be getting a Doctor Strange 2 trailer at the Super Bowl. Just whatever you do, don't bring a spoon to that Super Bowl.
Oh, but, my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Okay, I'll stop. So, that's the big thing. But now we can talk about the big thing that came out today, or yesterday, depending on when this podcast goes up. But on Wednesday, they dropped a new episode of The Book of Boba Fett. I mean, Star Wars.
The Book of Boba. Yeah, well, we don't have anything else to talk about. Well, first of all, I just want to say, exactly 30 days from today, The Batman is released in theaters on March 4th. And that is incredibly exciting. As we talked about last episode, I am extremely excited for The Batman. It is going to be awesome. And exactly 30 days from now, it'll be coming out. So
that's exciting.
That's very exciting. I'm so excited for that movie. Oh, I feel like we had something else to talk about, though. Like, something else big. I was on the cusp of greatness, and I just missed it. Well, Spider-Man No Way Home is the sixth highest grossing film of all time.
It is, isn't it? It's coming up on Avatar's domestic worldwide.
Which is, you know, good, I guess.
That's pretty good. But we can talk about the Book of Boba Fett episode, or the Star Wars show.
Oh my goodness, dude.
This series has been very unfocused.
Show is so weird.
Because the first four episodes start out as a Boba Fett show about Boba Fett and with Boba Fett in the limelight. And then in the fifth episode, it's just all Mandalorian. Like, they lose interest in their main plot line. And then, like, they have a huge side quest in episode 5 and 6 where you don't even continue the main story. Because episode 5, it's Mandalorian season 3, episode 1. Basically. Yeah. That's what episode 5 is.
Yeah, basically.
And then here, it's a Luke Skywalker show, almost. Because, spoiler alert, Luke Skywalker shows up in this episode and is training Grogu.
He looks a lot better, though, in this.
He looks way better than he did in Mandalorian. Even though this was leaked a long time ago, that Mando and... Mando. Mando was leaked, but... That, what's his face? Luke and Grogu were going to be in this series also.
That wasn't leaked out.
But, no, it was.
Luke and Grogu?
Yeah, it was. The one character who didn't leak out was Ahsoka. Sigh.
Ahsoka wasn't leaked out.
I hope you stop with that gag. Anyway, so Ahsoka was never leaked out. That's why I was genuinely surprised. Like, oh, Ahsoka's in this. I honestly was not expecting
that. I mean, she didn't really do anything that much.
Not really, but still.
She kind of stood in the background.
Pretty much. And also, R2-D2 was in this, even though he wasn't leaked either. And so basically, we got to see Grogu. We got to see Luke training Grogu.
Wow.
And so we got a nice Empire Strikes Back reference where Luke's running through the trees of bamboo and, like, and Grogu is in a backpack.
Which again, Luke looks so much better in this episode. Luke
is way better.
In the
Mandalorian,
first episode,
he looks super rubbery and robotic. Looking back on it,
in the first episode, or not in the first, in the season finale of Mandalorian, when we first saw Luke Skywalker, because of the sheer nostalgia and like reveal and surprise of the moment, we didn't care. Like we were just like, oh my goodness, look at that! It's Boba Fett.
But
blah,
looking
blah,
back on it, it's very rubbery and robotic. And what shows you looking at? I pretty much Mandalorian a few weeks ago, before Boba Fett started, and I could tell it looked very rubbery, and robotic.
I mean, yeah, like looking back on it, I just rewatched that scene the other day. Which, by the way, every time I rewatch that scene, it always gets me I always just get all like emotional and start like, I don't know. Oh man, dude, leaving Grogu is just like the saddest thing in the world.
It was so sad. If you didn't cry during that, then I feel bad.
Dude, I still like. I just rewatched that scene the other day, and I was like, it was so sad. But
it's gut-wrenching.
Like, looking back on it, like Luke in that scene looks so bad. The special effects in there were terrible. Trying to de-age him. No, I don't even think they were de-aging him. It was like they were doing a deep fake, also a de-age. Didn't really work. Whatever method they were using, it wasn't very good. And then some YouTuber did a deep fake of Luke Skywalker. Or did a redone version of it. And actually, I've seen the video, and it doesn't look a whole lot different. Like,
not really.
I mean, so I don't see why they like hired a YouTuber off the streets, basically. But it does look, in this episode, it looks so much better.
It
looks
does.
Miles ahead. You can even, the guy's name is Shamook, I think, Shamook. The deepfake that he did trying to redo the version that Lucasfilm did actually doesn't look a whole lot different than the version that we see in season 2, episode 4 of The Mandalorian. Episode 8 of The Mandalorian. It doesn't look a whole lot different, but whatever he did now looks so much better because they actually hired him, a part of the VFX team, to actually work on the de-aging of Luke Skywalker. So he looks a lot better here. Like Luke Skywalker looks 10 times better. Like he looks like a real person in this scene. And Sebastian Stan recently came out and was saying that he would actually be open to playing Luke Skywalker. Like he said, never say never. And he's like, Mark Hamill knows that he's my dad and stuff, like, or like my father and stuff. But some people were pointing out, well, that's not really they don't really need to do that now. Because if you didn't know, that was something that the fans were pushing for a while.
With Sebastian Stan being fan cast as Luke Skywalker in the Mandalorian timeline.
Yeah.
But now they don't need to do that because they can just de-age them. It looks awesome.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if that's really, I don't know if we really need to do that now.
It looks awesome now, so there's really no need.
Yeah.
And then also we got Ahsoka, and then also, like, Mando comes to give Grogu his gift. That was the speeder was made into, but he never gets a chance to because Ahsoka's telling him that he's a distraction from what Grogu's trying, what they're trying to teach Grogu.
Yeah.
And so Mando's just ends up leaving and then Ahsoka gives the gift to Luke. And also Luke's teaching Grogu how to do all the jumping stuff that we see Yoda do in the prequel trilogy. It actually looks really good. And so at the end of the episode, it builds to the choice that Luke gives Grogu. Either take the armor, which is basically like mini armor that looks a lot like the armor that Frodo uses in Lord of the Rings. He's like, he says, either choose the armor and go back with your Mandalorian friend, or take Yoda's lightsaber and continue to master your Force abilities.
Which, dude, that is like the toughest choice I've ever seen, ever. Like, Yoda's lightsaber, or go back with the Mandalorian so we can all be happy and stop having our hearts wrenched out of our chest because Mandalorian and Grogu aren't together.
They can't be together because Mando's a distraction.
Because that's what we saw later, or earlier in the episode, where Mando was wanting to go up to Grogu, give him this chainmail Beskar armor thing himself, but Ahsoka didn't want him to because he's nothing but a distraction to Grogu, and he's preventing Grogu from mastering the ways of the Jedi arts. So, pretty tough choice, and I was looking at the internet and seeing what people thought, and I think it was pretty divided, though. Like, I think most people actually were probably saying that he should take the chainmail, because I think everyone just wants him to go back
like
to
like a Mandalorian. Dark.
But, I mean, I want him to have both. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, dude, Grogu with Yoda's lightsaber would be absolutely amazing. And the internet would explode. Like, if they showed him fighting someone with a lightsaber...
Yoda's lightsaber, everyone would explode.
And he's already learning how to, like, jump around like Yoda. So if Grogu's, like, jumping around doing the same type of stuff that we see Count Dooku... Yoda doing to Count Dooku?
Yeah.
In episode 2. Can you imagine Count Dooku jumping around, flipping around?
No, he didn't do that. He couldn't move. He's Christopher Lee. Christopher Lee was a poor...
Unfortunate soul.
How do I say this without being disrespectful? Christopher Lee was a aged man who couldn't do that. It's just CG'd Yoda jumping around for no reason.
Yeah, just like, bing, bing,
bing. But here they actually learn how to do that, which I'm surprised that they were able to do that with puppeteering technology. And so there was that, and also Cobb Vanth came back in this episode. We forgot to mention that.
And...
Shush. And so, also... So Mando decides to go back to help Boba Fett, and Boba Fett gets a 30-second cameo in his own show, which is so weird.
Dude, he doesn't even get any lines, does he?
Nope, doesn't say anything. He just nods his head at Mando. They said he needed more foot soldiers, and so Mando goes, I know someone. And he goes to go get Cobb Vanth, even though Cobb Vanth was established at the beginning of the episode, just a regular guy with no armor.
Yeah.
He's still a good marshal, and he's still defending his town, so then Mando goes to recruit them, and basically, Cobb Vanth's just like, I don't owe you anything, and then his friend's just like, this is Free Town. We don't need to do this.
We are Free Town now, yeah.
And then Mando is like, I didn't think you were someone who would back down from a bully. Mm-hmm. And then Mando leaves in his Naboo Starfighter, which is awesome. And then Cobb Vanth says, call the town together. We want to have a meeting. And then we have this classic old Western shot of a mysterious figure in a hat walking up to the town. Now keep in mind, this episode was written by Dave Filoni, creator of Star Wars The Clone Wars, creator of Star Wars Rebels. And so going into this episode, everyone was speculating if Dave Filoni's writing this, what character would fit perfectly for this episode? And this is a character that everyone had been speculating for. Everyone wanted to see a live action debut. We even saw him return from the dead in Bad Batch. And that is none other than Cad Bane himself making his very first live-action appearance. A fan favorite's Clone Wars villain, Cad Bane, makes his live-action debut.
Yeah, which this is what we loved about The Mandalorian, especially Season 2. Like, this is the stuff that we loved. This is why, not the main reason why we love the show, because there was already enough intrigue.
With The Mandalorian. But here, they're using fan service to kind of try and save the show. I think they're realizing, oh, Boba Fett's not interesting enough, so we need Mandalorian to save this.
Yeah, this is what we loved about The Mandalorian, was The Mandalorian could already stand on its own 2 feet. It didn't need fan service. That just was an added little, like,
treat
flavor on top to give it that extra oomph. The story by itself was already good enough, but especially in Season 2, the fan service was so exciting and so awesome for us Star Wars fans that it just was a really exciting time when Season 2 was coming out. Every week, everyone coming to tuning back and seeing, oh, who's going to be in this episode? What are they going to do here?
What are the leaks correct?
Yeah, what exciting thing is going to happen? And that was, like, just really fun. It didn't take away from the show itself, and it was a really exciting time for all of us Star Wars fans. But here... Up to episode five, no one
has been interested in this Boba Fett plotline. And so now it just feels like I said earlier, they're trying to use Mandalorian to try and save the show. And it's good because the episode's been good, but it's sad that these past two episodes have been the best episodes of the show. 5 and 6 have been the best episodes of the show. And it's not even about Boba Fett.
Yeah.
He's not even in... Boba Fett's not even in episode 5, and he only appears for 30 seconds in this one.
Not even, like, 2 seconds.
He's not even in it. He doesn't say anything at all.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating feat that they made a new character, Din Djarin, more interesting and compelling than Boba Fett himself.
Yeah, who is...
Insane!
Yeah.
Dave Filoni have accomplished the impossible. They made a new character more interesting than a classic character.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Like, yeah, it's just sad.
That is a true achievement of this show. They made a new character more interesting than a classic character.
Like, because this show, up until episode 5 and 6, it wasn't like, oh, yay, you guys can tune into the next episode of Boba Fett. Oh, yeah, we're going to do this. It was just kind of like, I guess we'll tune into the next episode just because, I mean, it's
just
Star
Wars.
Just
to see where this is going to go.
Yeah, because, I mean, we were all initially excited for the show to begin with. Like, Because there was so much hype surrounding it after The Mandalorian, which was we all loved, and now we're like, oh yes, the Book of Boba Fett in that same vein, this is gonna be awesome. And then,
well, part of that was us hyping it up because he didn't say anything for like months, but it wasn't until the first trailer dropped in like October that people they started hyping it up.
And then
part of that was on us.
We were like, oh yeah, this is gonna be amazing. And then the first episode came out, and we were like, oh yeah, I guess that was good. So the initial hype leading up to the show, once you got to episode 4, had completely worn off.
Pretty much. And now it's, everyone's saying, this is awesome. But other people are still saying, yeah, this isn't good, that these are the best episodes. Some people are saying that they're using fan service too much.
Yeah.
Which, like, I mean, that's a valid criticism.
Because again, like, we were just like, oh yeah, this is awesome. And then episode 2, we were like, okay, yeah, I guess this is good. And then episode 3, we were like, okay, yeah. And episode 4, we were just like, what is this show? And then they were just like, oh, the Mandalorian's coming. And so you're like, okay, yeah, maybe.
And episode 4, you're just like, oh, that was okay, but Mandalorian's gonna come. And yeah. Episode 5 was just Mandalorian season 3.
Episode 5, that's when everyone was like, yes, Mandalorian, oh, I love it, blah, blah, blah. And it's because the Mandalorian was in it, not because the show itself was good.
Not because Boba Fett was in it, but because Boba Fett's compelling in this show, it's just Mandalorian's in it.
Like, I mean, yeah, and even when Jake and I were watching the episode, like, when we were watching episode 5, the whole time I was just thinking in my head, oh man, we haven't shown Boba Fett at all.
Yeah, we were just like looking at it, just like, when's Boba Fett gonna show up? He didn't show up.
Yeah, we were like, oh, there's no Boba Fett in this at all. But I was happy with that. I was like, yeah, well, I mean, I hope they don't cut back to Boba Fett because it's so boring. It's nothing's happening. There's no main driving force to drive the plot forward. It's just kind of, oh yeah, I guess maybe we'll take out the Pikes because they're annoying us a little bit. So we'll just kind of maybe take them out if we have enough time and if we feel like it.
And he's also just like, there's no one respects me. I need to earn their respect.
Yeah, just like Boba Fett walking around to people going, hey, I'm the new Daimo now. And they're just like, okay, loser. Like, that's basically, that sums up Boba Fett episodes 1 through 3, the main plot line. And then you have the flashback plot line, which, sure, whatever.
They put way more effort into that than they did the actual main plot line.
Yeah, and I mean, Jake, or that's what everyone had been thinking, and like Jake and I leading up to the show, we were thinking, oh yeah, it's gonna be like every episode, we might get a little hint about his past, like we're gonna get a little flashback.
Yeah, like, and instead, we just get stuff like that we could have pieced together on our own.
Yeah, and so they're just like, let's devote 3 whole episodes to this plot line about the Tusken Raiders and how Boba Fett learned to be with a tribe. And it's just like, nobody asked for this. We weren't asking these questions. We weren't asking, like, how did Boba Fett get with the Tusken Raiders?
We did want to know how he got out of the Sarlacc, but that was about it.
Yeah, we were asking, how did he get out of the Sarlacc pit? And that's something that they could have kept to keep the intrigue level up throughout most of the show. But instead, the first thing we see is Boba Fett getting out of the Sarlacc pit. So automatically, our intrigue level is gone, and then he's taking off his helmet every 2 seconds. He's a chatterbox.
He's always talking, and he has like a... I've heard some people say that he has a heart of gold.
You really?
Yeah, some people say they've ruined him, because at first he was such a compelling, he's such a compelling bad guy. And then here, they've turned him into like a guy who talks a lot, takes off his helmet, and he has a heart of gold.
Yeah, like, I mean, and now he's just like... Because before this, Boba Fett is my favorite Star Wars character ever. So I was going in this show ready to love it, and it was quite disappointing. And the most exciting parts about the show
it's not even right, but to Boba Fett himself. It's exactly. Just all fan service.
Exactly, yeah.
And all people are talking about is, all people are talking about are Mandalorian.
Like now,
Luke Skywalker, Rogu, Cad Bane, Cobb Vanth, Ahsoka, that's all people are talking about. And even Luke Skywalker and Ahsoka interacting was just awesome.
Yeah.
That's all people were talking about. It's just the fan service stuff. Not the Boba Fett plotline. Fan service.
That's all.
That's a problem.
Yeah, now people are just like, oh yeah, this show is awesome, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, yeah, but that's because it's a different
show
now.
That's because it's fan service.
Now it's a different, it's not even the Book of Boba Fett anymore.
Exactly. It doesn't feel like a Boba Fett show. It just feels like a Star Wars show.
Like, they just weren't interested enough in
it's
Boba Fett.
They lost interest. It's just to do more Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So it just feels like, what was the point of this?
There was so much potential with the concept of the show.
The name, Boba Fett. I think they expected it to be a hit because of the name, Boba Fett.
The Book of Boba Fett. That was
That
such
was
an
the
interesting...
name. That's what they expected it to be a hit because of that name, but it hasn't really worked out for them. Not to say that's been a flop, but it's just been mixed.
It's not terrible. I mean, maybe.
It's not terrible. It's just okay.
But I mean, it's not like unbearable. It's still Star Wars.
Yeah,
it's still
very
fun.
Watchable.
It's still like, yeah, it's still fun to come back every time and just be in the world of Star Wars again.
On Tatooine, like exploring all this kind of stuff, but they put way too much thought into the fan service.
And now, and I saw someone explain this best. Like they said, this should be the start of this enduring, big, long war between Boba Fett and Cad Bane and the Pikes, but it's going to end next week.
Exactly, because there's only 7 episodes. If they had done 8 episodes, they could have had more time to flesh this out, but because they only chose to do 7, then they're kind of in a tricky spot. And that's also, like you said, the Pikes have their muscle. Cad Bane is their muscle.
Like Cad Bane,
probably not enough time for them to get any more recruits from Boba Fett to get person. So we're probably not going to see Boss, which is kind of a disappointment.
Like, if they'd introduced Cad Bane in episode 1, then we would have been like, oh, what? We gotta watch this now. We gotta continue watching to see what Cad Bane's
they
doing.
They saved until, like, the second to last episode.
Exactly. Like, if they had that scene, or not that scene specifically, but if they had some kind of Cad Bane reveal in episode 1, then we would have been hooked for the entire rest of the show. There was no hook at the beginning of the show.
Exactly.
It was just, well, we're Star Wars fans, so we have to watch it because it's Star Wars, so we must consume it. But other than that, it was just kind of like, meh, like, not very good at all. There was so much potential. But
so, putting it all together, the fan service stuff is good, and it's great Mandalorian Season 3 setup, but overall, it's not a very good Boba Fett show.
Yeah, I mean, oh my goodness, like, it's so weird, because it's 2 different shows.
It's just a Star Wars show, basically. These last 2 episodes have been, well, this episode was a Star Wars episode, and episode 5 was a Mandalorian episode.
It's like WandaVision, like, someone, like, we were watching the first 4 episodes on the Boba Fett channel, and someone changed the channel to the Mandalorian channel. Like,
well, episode 5, they uploaded the wrong episode. They meant to upload Boba Fett episode, but they ended up uploading the Mandalorian episode instead. And here they uploaded the pilot for the Luke Skywalker spinoff show. Well, except the Cad Bane stuff, they kind of did.
Like, it was just, oh my goodness, it's so weird. But these past 2 episodes have been great. They've been amazing.
But it's been amazing. Of course it's amazing, but it's also a bad thing that these 2 episodes have been the best.
Yeah, it's so
weird. And
I'm
sure there's going to be something next week, some fan service-y thing that's going to send people through the roof.
Yeah.
And
that's bad.
That's bad. But hopefully they can...
Like, it's so weird because it's so awesome, yet so terrible for the show itself.
Hopefully they can land the plane...
In a decent... Like, the plane's already going down. The plane's already crashing and burning.
The plane... Well, it's not crashing, but it's starting to catch on fire. Hopefully they can land it in a decent way.
Within the terms of the show, within the terms of, like, the greater realm of things, yeah, these past episodes have been amazing. So, but, like, within the terms of the show itself...
The actual main plot line, it's in trouble.
Yeah, so hopefully they can manage to not completely obliterate the plane and maybe salvage something.
Salvage something, yeah, because we need to do something. There needs to be something to fix this.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, again, I feel like we rant about...
If they had had 8 episodes, this probably wouldn't have been a problem.
Or if they chose...
Or if they had cut out that flashback plot line.
Dude.
That would have helped a million times.
If they would have just, like...
If they had taken that flashback plot, other than the Sarlacc, if they had taken the Tusken, like, you keep the Sarlacc plotline, keep the Sarlacc answer, that doesn't matter. If they had taken the Tusken Raider plotline out, that would have helped them a great deal.
Yeah. But it's just, like, lackluster, so.
Since they had to split it up in half, basically, they didn't have enough, they couldn't be able to devote enough time to the main plotline.
Yeah. So, it's sad. I mean, I'd give this episode, like, a 9.5 out of 10.
Yeah, it's 9.5 awesome. Out of 10. It's great. But it's not great Boba Fett.
Yeah, it's great Star Wars, just not great
Boba Fett. Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
So that's our thoughts on the Boba Fett series in general and its episode.
Yeah.
Hopefully you enjoyed and also enjoy listening to the non-sponsorship anymore. And now we'll talk about our movie of the week, Hunchback of Notre Dame.
All right, we're back, and we're ready to talk about The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Wait a minute. No. No. All right. Oops, sorry.
Hunchback of Notre Dame from Paris.
It's literally a pain to type out. It takes 5 years.
It's such a mouthful. The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Dude, the bells in Montreal. Let's just skip to the good part.
Morning in Paris, the city awakes to the bells of Notre Dame. The
fisherman fishes, it's a French movie.
Oh, really?
To the big bells as loud as the thunder.
Thunder!
Bells soft as a psalm.
Psalm!
Some say the soul of the city is the toll of the bells.
These are some pretty good songs.
Bells of Notre Dame. This, they're beautiful, no?
Alright, that's enough. We'll play some more later, maybe. But so our behind-the-scenes nugget for today, I should have done the behind-the-scenes nugget before we even started playing music. But yeah, so our behind-the-scenes nugget for today is that in the original book, which, yes, this movie is based off of a book. Of course it is. I'm just going to give you also information on the book now. So this movie is probably the darkest Disney movie out there. Like, it makes me uncomfortable when I watch it because of how dark it is. Yeah,
yeah, same.
But it's – so the original book is a lot darker. Because the original book is just like a straight up tragedy. That's what it's meant to be. Like it's pretty weird. Let me explain it to you. So in the original book, like in the movie, both Frollo and Quasimodo fall in love with Esmeralda. Except in the book, Frollo orders Quasimodo to kidnap Esmeralda, and then he does. But their plan is thwarted. And then later, Esmeralda falls in love with Phoebus. Except apparently he's not as charming as he is in the movie. And Frollo is so mad that he makes an attempt on his life. So he tries to commit suicide. And I think he does. And then Esmeralda, it's blamed on Esmeralda. And so Esmeralda is hanged. Or no, he tries to commit suicide, but he doesn't. And it's blamed on Esmeralda. And then Esmeralda is sentenced to death. And Quasimodo watches as she's hung. And then he gets so mad that he hunts down Frollo and I think kills him. And then years later, their like skeletons are found hugging each other or something like that. Something weird. So the original book is very weird.
That's weird.
Dark. Yeah. So that's... And then, of course, in the Disney version, they had to change a lot of that stuff. Because
everything.
This is a kids' movie. And then they added in the gargoyles, which, I'm sorry, I don't think the gargoyles are funny. I don't think they're, like, I don't know, good. I just don't think they fit.
Don't like them. You just don't like them because you don't like their song.
No, that's not the only reason. I just don't think they fit in this movie. Like, it's kind of the same. It's kind of a similar problem with Pocahontas. Like, they're just like,
there's some tone issues with this one, too. And they try to go for a serious vibe, but then there's like a bunch of like cartoonish things that certain characters do. The gargoyles,
yeah, like I mean, like,
the gargoyles are meant to be comedic relief. There's a bunch of normal traditional Disney slapstick thrown into it. And it just doesn't fit.
Like I mean, the movie's just like incredibly serious, and then there's like, oh, this might be too serious for kids. Let's
dial
throw
it back. They go for it. They have the guts for it, but then they dial. But then they get cold feet and be like, okay, we need to take it back.
They're like, oh, but let's add in some funny sidekicks. Ha ha ha. So then they like, so it doesn't really fit. It's like, we have this incredibly serious movie where Frollo literally, the villain of the movie, sings a song called Hellfire. That's the name of the song. And then we have these gargoyles doing all these, hey, silly quasi, you're so mad, Rasha.
Like, okay, I like you.
Like, off to the side. It's so... Like, I think it has a similar problem with Pocahontas. So, there's like, when I was watching issues. It this time, I was just like, yeah, the gargoyles, I just don't think they're funny either. Like there's other Disney sidekicks that are funny, like Flounder, Sebastian.
Mushu.
Mushu. Like, all Genie. These are, yeah, of course, Genie, because he's, like, the most amazing Disney sidekick ever. But, like, these gargoyles, I don't think they're funny at all. And it's weird because... You have these are the same directors who directed Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah,
like they did Beauty and the Beast, and this was their next project.
The next one was Hunchback of Notre Dame. It's interesting how they chose this source material.
And it's like the side characters are not nearly as fun. Like in Beauty and the Beast, you have Lumiere, you have Cogsworth, you have Mrs. Potts, you have
you have all those
Chip,
all those people. Then here they're not as entertaining because like the gargoyles are not.
I couldn't even tell you a single one of their names.
Yeah, I know. I did like the one who was like the tall one with like. Wings.
All of them have wings.
Okay, whichever one was the taller one?
The like
British accent.
That guy. Yeah, okay.
I liked him the best. Maybe he looks more like a gargoyle to me than the other ones.
The gargoyles didn't work for me, first of all.
And it's just basically just figments of his imagination, almost.
Well, yeah, that's the theory.
The implied reason.
So, and then they have this song, A Guy Like You, okay? So this is, Quasimodo's feeling down about Esmeralda, and they're just like, A guy like you. So they
have skate.
So they sing this song to like, hype him up and be like, hey, you're a good guy. And it's a total Friend Like Me knockoff. I'm sorry. I don't care what anyone says. This song is a complete ripoff of Friend Like Me from Aladdin. Like, no joke. And it's called, what is it called? It's called A Guy Like You, kind of like Friend Like Me, huh? Maybe. And then here's the other thing. The person who did the music for this movie, Alan Menken, is the same guy who did the music for Aladdin. Huh? So he's kind of ripping off of himself almost. And, like, the imagery and the way that the scene plays out where they're singing the song look very similar, oddly similar, to Friend Like Me. So I just think, listen to it. It just sounds, it's, I guess.
French music, uh-huh.
Maybe not this beginning part.
You know, I am French, right?
Paris. No, you're not.
I am French. Uh-huh. I am from Paris. I never told you this, Sila.
Shush, I want to hear the song. That's because it's on fire. Uh-huh. It's still there's love. Somewhere out there in the night, her heart is also alight. Huh. And I know the guy she just might be burning. A guy like you, she's never known.
I think he's also got a few Be Our Guest vibes here.
Yes, yes, yes.
You've got a look that's all your own, kid. Could there be two like you? No way. Those other guys that she.
Yes, that totally has Be Our Guest vibes as well.
Like the whole like him talking and then they're playing like French like dun, dun, like that in the background. It's very Be Our Guest vibes. It's almost like a mix of Friend Like Me and Be Our Guest.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, that scene that song I have beef with because it sounds exactly like
I did feel like you overreacted that a little too much, but I can see where you're coming from.
And then, so we have the whole thing with Esmeralda and
I thought she was a good character though.
She was fine, yeah. I just don't like how none of these characters are very memorable for their voice. Like the genie, Robin Williams embodied the genie 100%. The genie and Robin Williams were inseparable. Like, he completely took on that character and made it his own, and that's why it's so memorable. But these characters are just, like, popular celebrities at the time, I guess, but I couldn't even tell you any of their names.
I don't know any of their names.
Like, I don't know who any of these people are, and their voices, there's nothing really memorable about the performances that much. Like, Phoebus kind of sounds like he's a robot a little bit. Like, he sounds kind of robotic.
He's like John Smith. Basically.
He's like John Smith and he's like Prince Eric from Little Mermaid.
You're calling Prince Eric boring?
He's kind of boring, yeah.
It's Christopher Daniel Barnes.
Yeah, it doesn't change.
Spider-Man.
Doesn't change boring writing. The voice does not change boring writing.
It's still Spider-Man.
I don't care.
The 90s Spider-Man cartoon.
He's boring. He doesn't do anything. Damn.
Well, Prince. That's true.
So, yeah, he kind of reminds me of those two. Like, he's just kind of like...
Eh. Maybe he's their descendant.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe there's going to be a Disney theory on the horizon. Similar to the Pixar theory.
Please no.
So, we have, like, he's a little bland. Esmeralda as a character, I guess she's fine. But again, like, these are real people, so there's nothing really memorable.
I thought
about
she was good.
Like, this
Frollo
movie,
was a good villain. Frollo, this, I thought, was the best character in the movie. I think he's a very good intimidating villain.
Oh, yeah, he's a villain, great all right. Villain. But I feel like this movie could have benefited from being live action. Like, this would work better as a live action movie than it would an anime.
If they had made it like this, like a live action, yeah, live. Well, they are making a lot. Well, they are. Well, it's happening anyway, so it probably could work better in live action.
I mean, what's the point of because these are just a bunch of real human beings. So
well, also this is a movie that could benefit from a remake because this is one that has a cult following. Like, this wasn't a lot of people's favorite Disney films.
Like, I mean, because this whole movie...
Some people don't like it either. Like, I don't think it did too well when it came out, but it has a cult following. People say people like it. So this one could benefit from having live action remake because it could fix a few of the issues that this original has.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, the movie itself is just about a bunch of humans. And there's nothing really, in my opinion, there's nothing here that makes it deserve to be animated. Like, this could easily be a live action.
Well,
the only thing you could say is the gargoyles. But then again, they could just be cut out and the movie would still work just fine. And I think it would benefit from not having these silly sidekicks dragging the movie down, because there's already enough little comedic moments, like between Quasimodo and Phoebus, the little scenes where they're together. Those were funny, well done, like highbrow humor. And other interactions were funny. Like, there's other funny scenes sprinkled throughout, and then there's just forced silly humor of the gargoyles, which in my opinion does not work at all. So you could kind of cut them out of the movie and the movie would still do just fine. Like, maybe you could change a little thing here or there, but the movie would still be just fine without the gargoyles. And they're really the only thing that makes the movie deserve to be animated. Like, you could say Aladdin, like, oh, what's there? Well, it's just the genie there as a sidekick. But you also,
they have Aladdin. Boo, we have Iago.
Yeah, you have Abu and Iago. Like, the movie is so rooted in a cartoony style. Like, everything about the movie is stylistic. It's caricatured. It's cartoony.
It's a two-faced son of a jackal.
Yeah, everything about Aladdin deserves to be animated. But this movie, it's realistic. It's the characters are human beings. The only thing that's not human is the gargoyles, and you could cut them out. I think this movie would benefit from being live action and cutting the gargoyles out. Those are the things that I would do to fix this movie. And not saying that it's broken. Like, not saying, oh, I need to fix this movie because it's a...
But I can see what you're saying. Like, this could have easily been live action if you take the gargoyles out.
It just kind of bothers me that it's an animated movie. Like, it's just so boring in the media of animation, where things are supposed to be more stylistic. Things are supposed to be cartoony and zany and a little bit more wacky.
It's way too serious to be.
And this movie, it's so serious. It's so grounded in reality that it doesn't really deserve to be a cartoon, in my opinion.
It could easily be live action. You just remove the gargoyles. Which I hope that's what they do in the live action one that they're doing.
Which they probably won't. They're probably not going to change a thing. It's probably just going to be a shot-for-shot remake.
Well, I think they're starting to get better at that now with live action. Because, like, the Mulan was pretty different.
But it doesn't make it good.
Yeah, it's still...
Mulan changed things, but it didn't make it better.
I still haven't even seen the live action Mulan.
Don't want to see it.
I'm not watching it. Why do you think I haven't watched it? I think it's been... almost 2 years, I'd never even touched it.
Oh my goodness, that movie was.
The Russo brothers have been saying that they're gonna keep the original songs from the original Hercules, but they're gonna just change the story.
Yeah, which I'm excited for that.
I have faith in the Russo brothers. Did the Russo brothers say that I have faith in them?
I trust them. Yes,
because they directed Avengers Endgame, you guys, and they're doing Hercules. So
Hercules
one, which that's our next movie, by the way.
That's right! Woo!
Hercules, finally. I'm looking forward to it. So, I mean, come on, that's a very different movie from the Avengers. So, I have faith that they'll make it different from the original one while keeping the same songs that we know and love.
Yeah.
They should get Josh Keaton to be young Hercules.
So,
again.
This movie, though, there is a lot to like here. Like, yeah, I mean, there's some mature themes.
I can see why people would like this because it's a lot more mature than most Disney films. I can see why people would choose it as their favorite film.
I mean, because again, Alan Menken did the music. Again, he's my favorite composer of all time. So, of course, the music is well done. I don't think it's Alan Menken's best by any means because, like none of the songs are really stand out a whole lot to me.
Except for the Just One Day. That's the one I'd say is memorable.
Yeah, that song I would probably say.
And Hellfire,
okay.
Those two are memorable. I think that's about it.
But I mean, and The Bells of Notre Dame, and I guess A Guy Like You, but...
No, not A Guy Like You, I forgot that.
Yeah, no, probably not. So, other than that, like, the songs are kind of forgettable, and it's hard for me to, like, they're not very catchy. Like, they're not just, like, you could be like, you ain't never had a friend like me. Like, it's...
Or you can even be like, Hakuna Matata.
Like,
what a wonderful phrase.
Yeah, it's like, it's not like you can just be like, oh, despair, one desire, like, it's like, I can't sing along to these songs. They're just people belting their hearts out as professional singers. And I'm not a professional singer, so nope. Can't sing along. Can't sing along with these people, so it's just kind of like the songs aren't very catchy. And every song, like after every song ends, they always play the like after every song, and then we fade
they
to black. Like we pan away from the character as they're like ah.
It's almost like a stage show.
And yeah, it's like a Broadway show. It should be a Broadway show. It shouldn't be a cartoon.
They made a Broadway show out of it, actually.
I know. Well, they made
it. It was more in line with the book too.
Yeah. Well, after the movie came out, it was such a big show. Like it's every time the character like finishes a song, we pan away from them and we fly up to the sky as it's like dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun all the time.
Like every time. That kind of sounded like How to Train Your Dragon when I was singing it.
No. So overall, even though there are some,
I mean, the songs are fine. Yeah. And the story itself is pretty good. Like I can see the appeal. I guess this movie doesn't really appeal to me a whole lot. Like this, do you think it's as like awesome?
No, it's
like,
not.
What do you think about it?
Awesome, but I think it's a good. I think it's good because it's actually a pretty mature. It's very more mature story. Even sure, it's still some typical Disney humor that they throw into it because it's a Disney film. They're like, oh yeah, kids watch these too, along with adults.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
It's and like put some stuff to appeal to children, but still, they do manage to tackle some mature things really well, even though they're limited because this is basically a film for all ages. So they're very limited on how much they can do with the mature and darker side. But they do a good job with what they're able to do because they lean really heavily into the Catholic side of it. So that, I'm surprised that they were able to do that.
And I'm surprised that people like it.
And they lean into the gypsy. And I'm surprised they want to lean into like the gypsies thing. That's like
which a, I mean,
creepy thing.
People, the movie itself, the whole movie has this just sense of grandiose and scale. It feels massive. It feels like the music feels big.
Well, that's
it
probably just because the people who made Beauty and the Beast did this movie.
Yeah, exactly. The same. It has the same feeling and tone of Beauty and the Beast. Where there's just sense of, like, big, huge, swelling music that, like, elevates the feeling of the movie itself to where it feels just big and powerful. Accredited to Alan Menken who did the music. He does this just big, sweeping score. And although some of the songs can be forgettable, and I don't know, maybe I don't think the music is the greatest, it still elevates the tone of the movie feeling just big.
And the lyrics
big.
Are not very memorable either.
Yeah, like, I can't remember what any of these people are saying. So, like, most of the movie takes place in this giant bell tower, and the animation is beautiful. Like, this is some of the best animation that we've seen from Disney Feature Animation. And we got this big, swelling music and these mature themes and these, I guess, relatable characters, even though, like, I mean, they're fine. So, they're a little bit more two-dimensional than some of the other Disney characters that we know, but they're still good. And relatable.
Yeah.
So we have this giant setting and this giant sense of scale elevated by this massive, booming, swelling music.
And a very intimidating villain who is a literal villain.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we've got these dark villain themes with, like, good villain stuff. And the characters are fine. And the story itself is good. It brings these mature, rich themes. So the movie itself is a masterclass in filmmaking. But, one, it would benefit from being in live action. Two, the gargoyles don't really serve the movie that well.
You could take the gargoyles out and it really wouldn't change that much. All that would be missing is the song.
Yeah.
And what gives Quasimodo the courage to break out the chains.
Yeah.
Got these chains on me.
So, those would be my complaints. And also, like, the... Again, it might be a little bit too dark for
my complaint is...
Well, like, the whole tone of the movie just feels icky.
My complaint with that movie is that I wish it did something that made it stand out more and make it more memorable. And two, I wish it could have gone a little bit farther into the mature side. Like, I feel like they had taken some of this stuff, like, taking out the gargoyles, and taken out some of the slapstick humor that Disney's known for, then it could have been a lot more... in line with the book, while still staying to the Disney typical.
And I mean,
Disney
for me personally, it might just be a case of just the movie just doesn't appeal to me. Like, I mean, I'm watching this movie and just the tone and the whole feel of it is it just makes me feel icky watching it. Like, I don't feel good right now. I don't know what it is or what it is about the movie, but every time I watch it, I'm just like, I don't feel good. I don't feel happy. I don't feel like I'm like.
Well, that's gonna be a big contrast to the next movie that's literally coming up.
Oh, the whole movie, I'm like, yes. Because it's got like this gospel music. It's like Hercules. Like, and in this movie, I'm just like.
This movie is going.
I'm like, I feel like I've like murdered
they're
someone.
They're like Catholics.
I feel kind of guilty watching this movie. Like, it's just, it's a little bit weird. Like, I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I just don't like the vibe that this movie is giving me. I'm like, I'm just kind of like squirming while I'm watching it. It's a little weird. But I guess I can see how it would appeal to some people. Because it's a well-made film. Like, it's not like it's poorly made. It's just...
No, it's not poorly made at all. It's just, there's nothing here that pops that really appeals to us and makes it pop.
Yeah, for us personally, there's nothing here that makes me go, yes, I absolutely love that. Give me more. Like, it's just kind of like, okay, sure. It's good. I can see the appeal, kind of. But overall, for me...
It needs something more to make it pop and stand out. Amongst the other Renaissance.
Because at least in the cartoon genre. Like, in the cartoon genre, things are made to be, you know, like... It's zany
and
wacky and expressive, and it's just like for an animated movie, it's kind of just drab and boring. But if we're a live action, it would work a lot better because live action is more reserved and more like not as like wacky and zippy. You could say like bam, bam, bam. Like it's more reserved and more realistic and more grounded in reality, and that's what this movie is. And they decided to make it animated, so contrasted with Hercules, like. Which has a very stylistic and zany and wacky vibe to it. Contrasted with that, which is another animated movie, which is what we're going to talk about next, it just feels like it should be live action. It just feels kind of drab for an animated film.
Yeah.
So I think that was a mistake, making animated. It should have been live action. But overall, it's pretty good. Like, it's not, again, it's not poorly made. It's just, it doesn't appeal to me as much.
Yeah,
so,
same.
What would
I'd
you give it,
Jake? About 7 out of 10. Not terrible, not amazing, but it's a good, solid watch. It's not a bad watch either.
I'd probably give it, yeah, a 7. I'd probably say a 7.
That's a 7, just a 7. No, 7.5, just a 7. That's where it falls for me.
Yeah.
Solid 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
So, that's our thoughts on The Hunchback of Notre Dame from Paris. So, thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed. Don't forget to watch Eli at Hollywood Enterprise. Watch me at JBH. You guys watch with us at Minecraft Madness, which never gets posted on anymore. The Nostalgia Freaks and the Movie Majors YouTube channel. We're still going to do our 2-year anniversary live stream this April. We still haven't figured out on a topic, but we'll figure it out soon. We just have to really sit down and think about it. And so, keep listening to this podcast. Be sure to check out the X-Files podcast that I have with Eli Spencer. Be sure to check out the Spectacular Spider-Nerd podcast I have with myself.
And you'll hear us real soon.